Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Long hot days in the shade of some big old tree. Making daisy chains and watching all the honeybees.
Welcome, Annabelle from Neil's Yard. It's so lovely to see you. Oh, well, I can see you. I know, but nobody else can, but I can. But it's lovely to have you on the podcast. And can you introduce yourself to the listeners?
So, yeah, I'm Annabelle Kindersley, and I'm co-owner of Neil's Yard Remedies.
Wow. So how long have you been working with Neil's Yard?
We took it over 18 years ago as a family business. So my husband, Barnabas, and I, and Barnabas's father, Peter, was always about worried and concerned about the environment. I mean, his earliest book was The Guide to Self-Sufficiency. So when Neil's Yard was up for sale, as it were, Peter was a director at Soil Association. And we just sat around as a family and just thought, this is everything that we believe and stand for. And it's a way we can prove and demonstrate that business can be done at scale, but still be organic, ethical, sustainable. And so we set out as a family on that mission of to try and prove that you can do it all. So in 2008, 14 years ago, we applied and became the first carbon neutral high street retailer. And I remember marketing directors often saying to us, oh, you want to take that off the... That's not how you sell face cream. No one's going to be interested in carbon neutral. And here we are. You know, I was at a Journey to Zero event speaking on a panel a couple of nights ago. And, you know, that is what everyone is talking about. I mean, carbon neutral offsetting is not enough. Of course, we have to go further. We have to set radical goals if we're really going to change things. So we've been doing that for 14 years, sort of back in the day, and continue to do so.
You know what? It's interesting because, of course, like when you're saying all this stuff, you're doing something that everybody should be doing and you've been doing it for a long time. Do you educate other companies?
I think back then we probably could have done because I think it was unique and we were sort of always swimming slightly against the tide then. I think now there are so many brilliant, I mean, I've reached out to lots of other industry businesses in our industry and also across sectors. And it's brilliant. I mean, it feels like, look, my feeling is you're only going to change things if you work together. And so everyone has to do it. Sustainability isn't anyone's business. You know, Neil's Yard, luckily, we were thinking and doing the right things a long time ago. But the world's moving at pace. And I think if we really want change, we all have to just work together. And also, I do really believe that if you're not doing that now, if sustainability isn't a feature in your business now, it certainly will be in the next 5 years. There won't be a choice, I don't think. I think everyone's going to be in the same river, just in different boats. And I think we're all going to be in the same boat before long. So
I think for me, Neil's Yard, you know, is when I think about the times in my life when I've gone to Neil's Yard, is like, you know, when I first came to London in the 80s, my aunt always used to take me there and she used to buy me products for Christmas. I just loved the whole feeling. It was like magic, homely stuff that really did work. And I remember I came to London and I wanted some, like, you know, herbs for calming and sleep. And I went to Neil's Yard and I got those. And it was like going to a mother, you know. And then I returned when I became pregnant and I bought the pill box with all the different things that you could have. You know, the homeopathic pillu box, I call them pillus. I remember I took the different remedies to help for different things and it was so good. And that little pillu box stayed with us. like all the way when the girls were growing up, there was any problems, we'd like, oh, come on, let's get the pillow box out. Let's have a look. This little blue box with all these magic little bottles with the little pills in, the homeopathic pills. And there was something for absolutely everything. And the kids loved it. And it was, and it helped as well.
Amazing, amazing. I even went at 16 years old into the wonderful Neil's Yard to buy my aromatherapy oils, which were always out of price range, and you know, I couldn't really manage it, but did because they were so precious. And I feel still the same about it now. A lot of people come to us for a myriad of different things, and so you have the skincare customer who comes in purely for skincare. They want efficacious, high performance, clinical, active ingredients, but that are organic, and you know that we're not going to have dodgy chemicals in there. So that's exciting. And then you have the natural health customer who might not actually even touch. They might maybe venture into a foaming bath but actually, do you know what's actually critical about what we do also is, and I would love you to come to our eco factory. I tell you why, Esther, because to see it is to believe it. We have this little tincture shed. I mean, you were talking about homeopathy and herbal remedies. So calendula, you will have known about calendula. So this is,
of course,
for everyone else who doesn't, it's like this incredible, well, the marigold, it's this big, bright orange flower. Beautifully bee friendly, let me just say, but amazing. Absolutely. And therapeutic and healing. So we've got creams which contain it that are great for cuts and you know, everything you possibly need. No household should be without a tube of calendula, but actually we grow it right in front of the factory. And so when we harvest it, we've got Fraser, who's our head gardener there, and when we harvest it, it's literally footsteps to the tincture shed, where it goes into this amazing big pot, and some of it's macerated for a year while it sort of does its fantastic tricks into alcohol, and then it's pressed in this like ancient, like literally ancient big press, and then you get this sort of amazing looking calendula cake as a byproduct of it. I'd love to show you a photograph. It's so beautiful, and I mean, that goes back onto the compost, and then it's made into so the tinctures form infusions and tinctures, but they are the therapeutic basis of all of our products. So everything, even if it's just smells nice and you think, oh, that's nice, smells nice, it's not just purely smelling nice. It actually has, you know, tried and tested old, you know, amazing herbs that have had, you know, incredible legacies of works and therapeutic healing active properties. So I think, you know, that for me is the magic of Neil's Yard.
I know you can't be a practitioner in the way, you know, to your customers, but do you treat your family, for instance, when things go, you know, do they use your products?
Always.
Yeah.
So I've got a daughter who's 21. She's a chef. Actually, we've got some new exciting skincare products coming out in the spring, and I happen to be on the product testing at the moment of some of them. And it literally, she doesn't even live at home, but she stays occasionally when she's exhausted because she's a chef. And literally, those testers go out immediately. She's just taken the lot because they're so good. So that's really exciting. She's loving that. So I can't say what they are because it's all top secret, but when we come out with it, it's going to be great fun.
The chef's range.
The chef's range. Of course, everybody wants our foaming bath. So seaweed and arnica foaming bath is like everyone's go-to. I think everyone needs that. Oh. We do actually do some. Everyone takes vitamin C. We started doing years ago when a great herbalist, who's passed now, but incredible herbalist called Christopher Headley, told me that you couldn't survive a winter if you didn't have sambucol, you know, a big tablespoon of sambucol. And I was looking at it and it's great. And I'm thinking we should make our own because we could do it from our own elderberries on our farm. We've got a family farm called Sheep Drove. So, I mean, we started doing that years ago, elderberry syrup. Fantastic. So everyone has a tablespoon of that. And even though my 25-year-old son doesn't live with us either, everyone's got that. We've all got kitted out with honey and thyme syrup, which is, you know, you fantastic, tiny bit of sore throats. Obviously know that the properties of thyme are fantastic for sore throats and coughs and all of those things. Obviously homeopathy kit, you know, for whenever we need. And Oh my goodness me, eye makeup remover. It's a tiny little bottle. I love it so much. It smells heavenly and it's so easy and sensitive. Actually, I use it for everything because I'm pretty lazy. Obviously, I use the other creams and great. We have got other fantastic wash off cleansers, but I just love that one so much. I could just have it in bulk.
Oh, Annabelle.
I tell you what else that I guess people don't get the opportunity to hear, but we have amazing relationships with the growers and suppliers for the ingredients, let's say frankincense and rosehip.
Oh, tell us about that.
So, I'll tell you about frankincense first. So, for example, with all of our ingredients, we commit to a year ahead of growing from seed. So not with frankincense, because that's a resin that's collected from a tree, but we really have long-term relationships with the suppliers and growers, which I feel really happy and proud about. And so, for example, frankincense we buy from Samburu in Kenya, and that's a community who they harvest the frankincense there. The Samburu, who will look incredible, beautifully colourful dress, and they're a female, mostly female community, and they didn't have water near to where the frankincense trees were. So we built them a sort of water tank, a well, and it's solar panels. Anyway, the solar had some problems with it recently. So I got a letter from them saying, could we pay for repairs on the solar? So it's all of that sort of stuff, which is quite intricate for a beauty brand, honestly, but still makes me feel, you know, I know in every pot of our cream. And now we have a lot of our for the Lift range, it's from a community in Oman, and so we've been doing lots of conservation projects with them. One which is very exciting, where we've grown frankincense from seedlings, so we won't be the beneficiaries of them because they take years to grow, but they have a problem with the way that they could be harvested, not sustainably. So it's super important that that's done in a, you know, certified Fair Wild or organic. We had the first organic certified frankincense in the world.
Oh God. When you talk about that as well, the frankincense, you know, because it's got such a story, hasn't it, frankincense? And I remember when I first saw that in your products, it's like, you know, it's sort of like a magical product. So when you talk about the people who are actually making it and growing it, and it's sort of resonating with me with the resin, you know, because I'm thinking about the bees, how they collect the resin, and I wonder if they collect frankincense in those countries, I don't know, but the resin, and then the propolis that they make from the resin becomes the skin of the colony, really, because it's all that protects them. And I love the way that bees, you know, when they're making honey, obviously a lot of pollen goes into the honey, and then people take it for, you know, colds seasonal hay fever and allergies, and you know. And so when you're talking about the frankincense, I'm thinking about the properties that has got, because resins are so important for the bees as well. And then I know that before that you were just about to say about rose hips as well, because rose hips, for me, we used to live behind a rose growers when I lived with my grandma when I was little, and which used to bring in all the rose hips, and we used to sit there with buckets and we used to cut the rose hips off, and she used to make wine. But my dad, he also used to make rosehip syrup, and I've still got, he died just before the pandemic, but I've still got two bottles left of his rosehip syrup, because rosehip is just amazing as well, isn't it? What about the rosehip growers?
Oh my God, literally, I've got so, do you know what? We could talk forever, Esther. I've got so much to talk to you about. I'm going to have to come to your allotment because, yes, yeah. Rosehips, you talked about two things there, rosehips and bees. So we need to get on to bees because I love to talk about that most one. That could be a whole other hour, just you and me talking about bees, I'm sure.
It could.
So rosehips, yes, we work with a community in Serbia, and they're wild harvested. And rosehip seed oil is incredible. It's so healing. It's in the basis of our best-selling Wild Rose Beauty Balm, which honestly, anyone who hasn't tried it, it's so divine. It's everyone's desert island product. One pot wonder, as we call it, because you could use it for everything. Taming your eyebrows, dry skin, facial mask, you know, you name it, it does everything. And it smells heavenly. But I'm going to leave that there.
I have got it. I love it.
Oh, have you? Yeah, we help them buy a crusher. It's very difficult to get the seeds out of it. So it used to be sent to France. Such a silly idea. So we worked with another NGO and we paid for a seed crusher. So they have one there and now they're, you know, supplying to all places in the world. It means that there's much higher employment in the area and people are paid a fair price because we work with FedWild. So all of that's super exciting. But then bees. So let's get back to bees because...
You must be using a lot of beeswax in your products.
We do. I mean, we've always respected the bees. In 2011, we campaigned for a ban on neonicotinoid pesticide. And for anyone who doesn't know what that is, it's a toxic pesticide that is so harmful to bees that, according to Professor Dave Goulson, a single teaspoon is enough to kill 1.25 billion bees. So nasty, basically.
It's all very emotional, isn't it, this conversation?
So we campaigned with Friends of the Earth in 2011. And in 2017, quite a long time later, there was a ban that came into effect, EU-wide ban, and we were just rejoicing. Fast forward to this year, March the 3rd, I remember it, I was lying in bed on Instagram, as you do on a Saturday morning, or you might not do, but if you do. And I saw there was a Greenpeace ad saying government lifts a ban. And I sat bolt upright and I thought, what? I've just been getting on with my job. I thought I didn't have to think about that anymore. What's going on? So I jumped up in my nightie, went downstairs in the kitchen and wrote a letter to Greenpeace. Lots of NGOs Greenpeace were brilliant. Friends of the Earth, Bug Life, RSPB, the Wildlife Trust. And then I thought, okay, well, I'm going to write an open letter saying this isn't right, this isn't okay. And then I decided, well, we've never campaigned with other beauty industry. Maybe I could. So I literally got onto customer services and called up all these brands, Lush, Body Shop. Could I speak to the CEO? And, you know, where we're at now, we've got 90 businesses and organizations. I've set up an independent website called standbybees.co.uk, which has all the companies that are affiliated and also all of the organisations, environmental organisations. So it's taken on life of its own. It's been another full-time job, actually. But as I see it, I don't think we have a choice. Delivered the open letter. I didn't think much would happen from that. And of course, I thought if it's just going to be an Instagram post, then that's not enough. So then I held a bee symposium, got the beauty industry with farmers and lots of environmental organisations all together on a panel with Friends of the Earth, Soil Association, Lucy Siegel, and got farmers to discuss the issues and see how we could make change. And then I started this parliamentary petition and... The petition's still running. I've got to get 100,000 signatures to get a debate in Parliament. But actually, rather excitingly, I've been in talking with DEFRA and we're talking about the problems that businesses will face if the reputation of British quality and standards is jeopardised by our not having strong environmental policies. So I think that's the kind of, you know, where we're at.
Annabelle, it's brilliant.
Oh, well, I'm not there yet. Really, so if we can change, I mean, I'm asking something I would say is pretty basic. I'm asking for a pesticide reduction target. I'm saying this, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a farmer, I'm not an expert. I'm just a concerned citizen and a business owner who wants to do the right thing. And I think that the wonderful thing is that so many other people want to do the right thing too.
We're all... Oh God, anyway, I just find it all very emotional just hearing you talk about it. But I think everybody knows that it's wrong, don't they? And everybody knows that.
I mean, it is a big deal, isn't it? I mean, that's what I think, you know, I should be just focusing on my full-time job. But as I see it, if I don't stand up for this, you know, if 1 in 3 mouthfuls of food depend on pollinators, what on earth are we doing? And these guys do this stuff for free. Who's going to stand up for them? So, you know, you're doing an amazing job looking after and tending and being with your bees, raising awareness for bees. I mean, everyone's doing their bit. I, you know, I get onto calls with CEOs or people and I hear this sort of funny little sort of slightly gingerly conversation sometimes that goes on. It's a bit like, oh, well, you know, it's not really our campaign. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's not my campaign either. This is like everybody's campaign. I spoke at this thing the other night and I said, look, the thing is, they were talking about how can luxury be sustainable? And I was saying, okay, look, here we go. Would you prefer to be on Oxford Street in the middle of a busy, you know, the fumes, the traffic and the pollution and everything, you know, to full on that? Is that luxury? Or is it being in an amazing and natural environment with the bees buzzing and the, you know, butterflies flying past you and the sunlight coming into your eyes and beautiful dappled light? And what's luxury? That is luxury.
Light in a meadow.
Although, funnily enough, I said this to my husband in the taxi on the way there, electric taxi, just saying. And he said, yeah, but I don't think you can say that because nature shouldn't be a luxury. It just as should be, and we should respect it. So I haven't used that argument properly because I haven't articulated it well enough. But I think that that's the thing, is that it's trying to strike a balance, which is like, you know, in a way, water and earth and, you know, everything that we've got around us is the most beautiful natural resource, and we need to preserve it at all costs. Literally, what's going to happen in the next 20 years? So I do agree with you. This is an emergency.
I think that nature, you know, has taught us about abundance, and, you know, through learning about that we can have abundance through nature, we've, you know, put that onto other things that we want more and more of. But abundance in nature is just the most beautiful thing that any of us can ever see, isn't it? And I'm on your camp there. I think that people just need to know that that's where they can find abundance and beauty, and it's all out there. You don't need to go to the shops, do you? I mean, you do need all these natural remedies and stuff because they're going to help us and keep us healthy, but there's lots of things we don't need.
No, I think the, you know, the message of that is going to be, well, you're right, health, that's why health is so important. That's why it's nice that we talked about Neil's Yard's natural health. I'm really happy that you brought that up. But I think little things that we can do is we can really vote with our wallet. We can really make discerning decisions about where we spend it, who we support, and be conscious of what we're doing and why we're doing it. So, and that makes every purchase that you make more sensible, doesn't it? Because you can, you know, support the right things.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I was at a Friends of the Earth dinner last night and I just said to them, you know, I feel like I've really achieved something. And they were like, oh, is it about the bees? And I said, no, I feel like I've achieved something. Got a 25-year-old boy. I went round to his flat between, you know, two meetings yesterday, and he was there with the heating off and it's freezing in his little flat, but he chooses to eat organic food. So he won't be heating up mostly because it's expensive and it's the environmental thing, but he's voted with his wallet. He could have been with the heating full blast. He's not, you know, he's not at home anymore, full blast and eating junk food. And I'm sure he does eat junk food occasionally, but his actual, you know, market share of voting with his wallet. And my daughter is a chef and she was telling me about it's so important, like the provenance of ingredients and food and where it comes from and all of that stuff. So I feel like job done. If they can think like that.
Well, Annabelle, my youngest is doing fine art and she sent me her project that she was doing, and it's about bees. And she got this wax comb on a little shelf with some little disco mirror things and a little chair and a little bee. And I thought, she's, Mom, are you pleased? I've decided to do a bee project. I'm like, yeah.
That's wonderful.
So sweet, yeah. So they were really excited when I told them that you were coming on. They were like really thrilled.
We're all just trying to do our bit, aren't we? In our little tiny ways, whatever they can be.
We are, and the bees are too. The bees are really trying to do, they're doing everything they can. And like you say, they don't even get paid for it, you know, but they're still doing it to look after us, to look after the world. They're doing everything they possibly can.
I read a book recently called The Mind of a Bee, and it's a research on showing how bees are sentient beings, that they have thoughts and they can feel anxiety I mean, it's really deep stuff. I talked about this with a scientist and it is really fascinating. So I think the article that I read about the book was saying that we have a moral obligation to protect the bees, because if they are sentient beings, that's a whole other, you know, dimension. So, I mean, I think it's wonderful the work you do and raising awareness about bees in general, because they're so humble, aren't they, actually? They give us
humble bumble.
Humble bumble. Lovely. Oh.
Well, Annabelle, it's been absolute delight to have you on today. And I'm seeing you as like this sort of healer of many things. And God, it's just wonderful. Oh. Really. I know you're going to do it.
It's been such a, like, I mean, you know, likewise, it's been amazing, really fantastic. And I want to come to your allotment and have a cup of tea and we can chat all things bees, because I'm sure you could teach me a huge amount and I'll bring the remedies.
Oh, well, I'll need the remedies and I'm always love to share any knowledge that I've got. So I've learned so much doing this podcast and I've learned so much today, you know, listening to you. And oh, it's just so colourful. I literally could talk to you forever until it's bedtime and then in the morning again. So thank you.
Thank you. And I'll call you up
whenever I'm feeling down. Queen Bees is written and created by Esther Coles and Jane Horrocks. It is produced by Claire Broughton and Andy Goddard and partly recorded at the Hives on my allotment near Crouch End in London. Our title music is Sweet Nothing by Amy Mae Ellis and Will Cookson. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Queen Bees Pod for pictures and videos from the Hive. Queen Bees is a Hattrick podcast.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know that feeling when you're about to score 30% off, but they want your number? Ugh. Give them your Line 2 number instead. It's a second line on your phone, perfect for nabbing promo codes without inviting spam to your party. Sign up for every discount under the sun, then block the junk texts that follow. You get all the perks, but none of the spammy baggage. More codes, less chaos. Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store and get your shopping sidekick today. Because the only thing blowing up your phone should be good deals.